Hello, welcome back to Muscle and Hustle podcast. Nice and early. Nice and early. Well, probably not early for most people, but early enough for me.
Not early for me either, sir. Excuse me.
Well, Australia, I suppose, was long as well, but 11 hours difference.
Yeah, I'm 9:15 at night. What time is it with you?
9:15 in the morning.
I'm actually jealous. And what is it, the 22nd for you?
Yeah.
It's still 21st for me. I'm back in time. Tell me about the future. How is it mental?
It's all different, Willie.
Got any bets or anything, let me know.
It's a brand new world run. There's my alarm clock. It's a brand new world run. It's been a long time since I've been up this early on a Saturday morning, I'll tell you that much.
Were you gigging last night?
No, I went to see Oppenheimer last night.
Review. Rating.
9.5 out of 10.
Oh, son.
The only problem, it's very, very, very long.
Is it over 3 hours?
It's 3 hours on the button, but it's there's never a point where you're going this is long, except for the fact that we chose to go to at 8 o'clock at night.
Means you're not out to about 11:30.
At the very end, you're starting to go fucking getting a wee bit tired here, and it's just unbelievable. Yeah. All the actors in her class, storylines, class, everything about it is just phenomenal.
Good.
You have to have your P's and Q's about you to watch it, because it's flipping back in time, forward in time, back in time, but not just like to different points, to like 3 or 4 different timelines.
And so you need to go in not wrecked. You need to go in ready for it.
You need to go in ready for it, because they're smart the way that, so there's a part of it like in black and white, and you know it's the very start, and then there's a part in pure color, you know it's towards the more bit, and then there's a bit in between, and it's just a wee subtle difference in the screen, but it's just Cillian Murphy's just he's eschewing for an Oscar if this Napoleon film doesn't live up to it, I would say. Right. But no, it's brilliant. Absolutely. The SSE, you'd swear there was a concert on last night.
Interesting. I've heard very, very mixed reviews, if that makes sense.
Well, have you?
So I'm very much looking forward to this whenever I get a chance to get seeing it, but I'm not going to see it until I've actually got like a decent time. Like, I'm trying not to, like, I'm out looking around the fucking world here, so I'm trying not to fucking
go to the cinema, spend 3 hours watching a fella.
exactly. It's trying to get that fucking balance.
You're in Hawaii now.
I am in Hawaii as of last 3 days. I'm at a business course here, which is it's pretty intense. Yeah, it's one of, and it's actually very refreshing because I'm one of the smaller fishes in the room. So, yeah, it's like an exclusive thing. You sort of have to get invited. So, it's been very intense. But it's been the last 3 days. It's made me off grid. It's only 9 to 1, but they couldn't do it. I can't make it past 1 o'clock. If it was full days, I'd be fucked. But yeah, pretty much it's scaling income from 7 figures to 8. So. It's like whenever people are turning around in the room, and some of their incomes are like, I thought mine was deep. Some of them are the numbers some people be pumping out on a day-to-day basis, and then the thing is they explain, like, for example, like I had to sit at a table today with five other people, and like I was making like the lowest, and you give them your problem and you're thinking, well, one of these guys is a crypto king, one of these people runs a property mentorship, one of these people runs a Facebook ad marketing company, one of these people runs they educate people on how to be better speakers, and they've all built their businesses from the ground up. And then you were talking to other people who, for example, like their full-time jobs are they get beer companies to make quality beer. So it's so diverse, but yeah. The thing is they're highly intelligent, so then you get a different viewpoint. So like my problem was say X, and then all of a sudden you're getting somebody completely outside the fitness world, completely outside, just ripping your models apart and Very, very good. It was very heavy. And then the thing is too, it's the connections as well. Like, I don't normally get the network with people. Like, for example, like somebody turned around and was like, oh, I done like this. Don't get me wrong, money's not everything, but somebody turned around and said they done 190 grand a day. And I was like, what? I was like, how? Like, how do you even go about doing that? Like, I was like, listen. But so, yeah, in Hawaii for that. And then I've got a 2-week sort of period here where we're just going to enjoy it. And then we're flying to Mexico.
That's class.
And Viva Las Mexico.
The crypto boys are bound to be shitting themselves now that that one of them big servers, America's blocked one of them.
They're quite into the boys that I was sitting with, like Ross, like one of the boys I was sitting with, he's very tuned. He says that he's been doing it 8 years and including all the crashes. He says he plays a very defensive crypto game is the way he does it. He teaches people that. So he said like he gets a 50% return year on year. And he says in crypto, that's fine. But he goes like in other investing worlds, that's phenomenal. But he goes in crypto, people expect to get so rich so fast, it shoots somewhere. He just aims for 50% per year. But he says that compound interest over the 7 years is what's made him long-term wealth.
No, I was watching a YouTube video. It was a news video, and it was about one of the big like platforms, and it's just not letting anybody take their money out now because they found it not to be above board. So even if people had millions in it, it's not coming off the platform. It's like it's pretty much locked down.
That's fucking nuts.
You'd be annoyed if you were a person that was just doing crypto normal and not knowing that the people that were the platform that was hosting you were doing stuff corrupt, so now technically all the money's corrupt. That would be fucking nuts. But then that is the thing that people's been warned about that sort of. But then you'd be warned about that about banks as well. So, but that's class. Like, so is there any other fitness people in that course?
Not really, no, not a whole lot. Like, some people overlap and do like the mentorship for coaches, but nobody does fitness alone. So,
did you know any? Did you recognize people? Like, is there anybody?
One or two people that came in the room? I was like,
a couple of big fish.
Couple of people that I was like, holy fuck! Like, for example, there was somebody there. I'm not give his name, but he was like he probably gives it away, but like. He was a key serving sort of member of building on it to its first billion. And he's responsible for the whole marketing it. And I was like, holy.
Audrey Marcus?
Fuck.
No.
No, it wasn't him. It wasn't like somebody, one of the front men. It was one of the back that I knew of.
And all right.
The fact that I got a conversation with him and I was like, you still own shares when they sold that? And he was like, yeah. Like, and I was like, I know how much they. In the back of my mind, I was like, I know what them shares. I was just like, this is obscene. And I was like, it's very interesting to talk to somebody who's built a supplement company from zero to that level and even that scale. So no, it was just, it's your what, and it's nice because it's not just about the network and the money. It's they're giving me a hand with mine. Like, I'm obviously struggling with some things, and then they're diving into personal issues because you're getting that, and then they're diving in. It's just a nice network of people looking out for each other. But for me, that's the only reason I came to Hawaii. Now I'm here for a while, so we'll see how things go. But loving the vibe. It's definitely somewhere on the bucket list for a lot of people. It should be. Now it is expensive compared to other even cities in America, but it's absolutely phenomenal. The weather, the palm trees are. It's exactly as you envision it.
Yeah, it's a bit, you've done Southeast Asia. It feels a bit Southeast Asia, Polynesia. It
feels tropical. Yeah. Polynesia is the right word to go. Like it's very, do you know what? There's a lot of Japanese influence in it because it's the halfway point between.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of like Japanese stuff that I actually wasn't expecting.
Yeah, there is a lot of that. Yeah. Have you tried any shaved ice yet?
I'm so addicted to ice cream, mate. I can't give up my ice cream. I need to have a shaved ice. But I'm gonna have to one of the nights to give it a rattle. Have you had it?
Yeah. It's good. It's definitely good. It's just
not as good as ice cream.
Well, no, ice cream's a different ball game. Ice cream's one of those things where
cream is
there's the so many different like flavors that, especially in America, because it's like the fucking the origin of good ice cream. But it's there's so many different flavors.
Straw ones I was getting.
I actually had to Google that place when you said about the famous ice cream. I had to Google it.
They do like a monthly flavor, like they've done rock flavors and all. Mate, I'm just obsessed with ice cream. Such a foodie. and like, oh, the flavors they were doing were blowing my mind. Oh, and the same way even here, some of the flavors here are fucking.
Well, that's the thing. Americans can do like sweet food a lot better. They just do like.
Stuff. They just do food like so intense.
Yeah. It's a hard place to go if you're dieting there.
Mate, absolutely. We went in for dinner tonight, like, and it was straight away, like, don't get wrong, like, I'm absolutely fine with, like, it was semi-fine dining because of the people we were with.
Yeah.
But still done four courses, but even fine dining, it wasn't small portions. Like, I was like, this is normal portions. Like, this is just obscene. So, like, whatever the fillet came out, I was like, it's going to be tiny, and it was fucking big. But, no, all is good with me in Hawaii, mixing up, going to Mexico, and then I need to decide where is next on the list after that. So I'm just on the world tour. So
will this be? Will this when after by the time Mexico's over, will it be September?
Bingo! It'll be very close to. It'll be.
I'd say
I'm here to the 3rd of August, and then I'm doing 2 weeks minimum Mexico, probably a month, and then I have to start slowly dripping my way to Dubai before October.
I was going to say, you'll be Dubai bound.
I want to go to Australia though, so we'll see how that goes. But enough about that. Enough about all that, Cario. What has been what the topic did you want to go through, or was there anything in your mind in particular?
Well, there wasn't so much topic, but a couple of questions came in, but most of them were pretty much, but the same as. We get the same sort of questions all the time, but there's one of them was business related about tips of starting. Get it up here. Tips of starting a new business, as in day one.
Let's do 2 to 3 tips each, and let's like try and quick fire this so it's not melting.
Yeah.
All right. Number one, speed is your friend. The thought of starting a business is usually what kills a business. You need to get moving and get moving fast. Number two, if you're like, well, I don't know what the fuck my business is or what I want it to be, you will be paid directly in proportion to the size of the problem you solve. So if it's a problem like you actually had before, that's the best way to go about it. So like, I love fitness, but I also help people. I look like I'm changing your life. And then as a result of that, that's why I get paid exceptionally well, because I'm solving a big problem. And then I would just say number three is just the number one, it overlaps everything. I just think it's such a speed game in every industry now. It's like, Joe, people be starting PTing now and they were debating starting online coaching 3 years ago. All you're doing is just giving yourself more work.
Yeah.
What would you say?
I would say you hit the nail on the head, find something that's a problem and fix it. So if you're a lot of times some of the best businesses that are created out of something that you find that you need, and you find then there's only one or two people in the country, or maybe even nobody in the country that can do it.
Or somebody, or you just do what they do but better.
Yeah. Well, that's the truth. Like that's if you see the worst thing you can do now is probably, I would be hesitant of probably getting into the fitness game at the moment. If it was me now, unless I had something unique that was really, really needed, or I had a skill set or a background. Say you're coming from, you're an ex-professional footballer, and you maybe injury cut you early at 25, and then you realize that there's young guys that want to go to the next level, make the Premiership like you did. You could be that guy to get them there. But if you were just going in to be another number in the fitness game, I would probably say that it's a tough, tough game unless you're ready to work even harder than people had to work 10 years ago, because just the sheer numbers. So that's what I would say. If you're looking to start a business now, I would find your niche. Make sure you know it inside out. Make sure you know who your competitor is. Make sure you know who your alliances are with, who your target market is. Dial in, knowing. Like any business, know who your target market is. Name your target market. I do this with every business I consult with. Actually give your customer a name and like reverse engineer them right down to a point of they have a whole backstory, and then build your business around that person or them two people. If you have a business, say if it's a pub, and your target market is people between the age of 21 and 25, mid-level income, you're not a high-end pub that like Guinness and the odd cocktail, and just go from there and then build, dive down. And if they are your target market, they're the people you want, everything is based and aimed towards them and people like them and friends of friends. And by the time you get your all your shit in line, from your marketing, from your themes, from your music, from your food, from your drinks, you know exactly who the people you're targeting. So it's specific to them and everything about them. Because there's too many businesses now. It's all right if you're a fucking supermarket or something, you do something for everyone. But if you're a business like Tony's business, like, it's not for everyone. It's not something for everyone, but it's a very specific niche, people that want to get in shape. Like, Tony doesn't really coach people who just want to tick the boxes. Am I right in saying that, Tony?
Yeah, no, it's not really my vibe.
It's not your vibe. You work with people who are, won't be the word, they're in it. You know, you're in it.
I'm trying to relate mine like from average to great.
Yeah, but then there's other people like the James Smiths of the world, and they are literally people who, I would say the other option for the James Smiths clients are Slimming World, Weight Watchers.
Yeah, they're people who just want to lose a bit of weight. They don't want it to compromise. They don't want to put in too much effort.
They don't want to stop having their fun. They just want to, you know, have some small bit of accountability and the community aspect. So that's a very different business pro, and there's nothing wrong with that, but he just knows who his people is. So that's what I said, if you're going to open a business, actually know who your customer is, and don't think that everybody can be your customer, because everybody can't be. When I started the coffee, I knew a specific type of coffee drinker was going to be my target, because my coffee was slightly more expensive. But to people on the outset, they're like, oh, that's smart, because everybody drinks coffee. And you're like, yeah, but not everybody's willing to spend £11.50 on a bag of coffee, when very good bags of coffee are out there for £8.50. So you're already bringing your market, slimming it. And that turned out to be an issue in the long run. One, because couldn't keep the beans coming into the country. And two, because I was alienating half the market, because they were like, fuck, that's a lot dearer than this coffee, and this coffee's really good too. And that, the other coffees, like the coffee they use in some of the best places in Belfast, are all around £8.50 a bag to the public. But
that's knowing, like, sorry if I interrupted you. It's like sort of knowing your market, but on a deeper level too. So like, knowing who they are, where they hang out, what they spend on each product.
Exactly.
Or what they want. But the main thing that I don't think a lot of people get clear on is, what does your customer, or what you're selling, what does it give towards the client? So like, really good example is like, when I sell training and nutrition, I don't sell training and nutrition. What I sell is confidence. Yeah. What I sell is you feeling like an alpha male, for you getting attention because you have abs, you getting a better looking girlfriend, you getting a better looking job, you feeling more confident in your clothes, you feeling sex. They're the things that people really want. Like, nobody actually really gives a fuck about having a six pack. What they care about is what it gives them, because they've got a struggle. And so like, why did I get a six pack? Because I struggle with women. I want the thing, and they'd glorify people that have six packs. So that was the reason I initially got one. So knowing why people want a Ferrari, if you're selling Ferraris,
yeah,
right, like it's as simple as getting really into your avatars, wants, needs, their fears, and their deep down desires. That's why Andrew Tate's stuff blew up, because as much as most men won't admit it, what he was saying was relating to a lot of men and what they really want: more sex, more money, more status. And that is what deep down what a lot of men want, and that's why he blew up. It wasn't just the fact he triggered people, he was connecting very deeply with a certain type of audience. I think that's actually all you need. Like, I wouldn't even give them any more, because see, the main thing with starting a business, there's too much out there. It's information overload. So one, speed. I don't even remember my second tip. My second tip was, you're paid off the size of the problem you solve, so focus on that. Number three is, make sure you really dive in on the psychology behind your customer. And I that's all
I would also need. Say one more thing, don't read too many business books, because it'll confuse the absolute fuckity, because every single of like the big business books have all got a slight different strategy. And if you're not really switched on at all, it does all contradict each other, and none of them are wrong. It's just what worked for them and what works for other companies. But you just have to do what works for you, and all, and like financially, you don't have to have a lot of money to start a company. If you're not like going into it blind, if you're going into it with a dialed in product and a dialed in campaign, a dialed in plan, you don't need a massive amount of money. But if you're going into it blind, you are going to waste a lot of money at the start until you find your feet. So that would be my other thing, is the more groundwork you do before you go to market, the less money you'll probably waste. And be it on adverts, or be it on, you know, being in directories or whatever, or Google Ads or SEO or websites. And you know, you don't need a website at the start if you're not selling an e-commerce product. You know, how long did you not have a website for, Tony?
Oh, I don't even know if I still have a website, like, for mine.
Yeah, see, that's it. You know, you might, you know, it's just all about, you know, it's all about, you know, spending what you have at the start smartly, and not, you know, not going and taking big loans out. You know, do your groundwork first, and then the banks come to you, pretty much. We have an actual, you know what, Tony? We have a nice message sent in to us.
Oh, really?
And it's from one of our female listeners. We still have them.
Oh, fuck.
That's a wee bit of a long one, but I'll read it here. After listening to how buzzing you two were from the comments you read out on this week's podcast, this is from the 10th of July, this week's podcast, I thought I would share a positive impact your podcast had on my personal journey. 33-year-old male, been listening to the podcast from nearly the very beginning. I was working very hard in a job for a little reward. I don't know many entrepreneurs personally, so you two have given me the insight in the mindset of successful entrepreneurs. I have doubled my income recently and become self-employed professional, all to fund my side hustle. Who knew taxes were so much fun? Taking a few risks and loving every minute of it. Going to America in the near future to train for my new side hustle. One step closer to making this my full-time business. One step at a time. I never miss an episode and laugh every time Mickey says that females don't really listen to this podcast much. Well, they don't, because they see the stats. you're in the 7%, no, the 10% bracket now. If you have any inside track on tickets for Taylor Swift's tour coming to Ireland next year, give me a shout. I need tickets as well. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate you for taking time and sharing your knowledge. That's very nice.
Thank you very much.
There is a lot of people now that are coming more forward. Like, I've got it a few times now out and about in the streets, saying that, you know, they've been listening from the start, and they've actually been inspired to maybe start side hustles, start complete new businesses. Or there's a few singers that listen to the podcast, and they've said that they've actually started treating their singing like a business. Like, actually treat their, like, the same way as I do with DJing, treat it like a business and not just their wee side hustle, or their, you know, what they're good at, which is really good to hear, because there's so many people that, like, there's so many people, even I'd say before Tony kind of blew up, a lot of boys just went through the motions of being PTs. Do you remember them days, Tony? Well, they just went through the motions and were like, oh fuck, you know, I've got a few clients here. And social media was there at the time. They were just not really, like, I don't know what the word was. They were going through it because maybe they liked the social aspect of being a PT rather than doing a 9-to-5, which doesn't make sense, because PT is longer hours than 9-to-5.
And then one thing I was going to say, I was very interested. Did you enjoy my like post and goals gym the other day?
Which one? The one where you were talking about stretching dudes?
No, the one where I was actually talking about stretching my mind and stop being like, and the sort of, like, it was like a bit of a rate. It's the first video I put up that wasn't like it wasn't funny, it was like real talk.
Oh yes, that was good. Actually, somebody said that to me about me yesterday. They liked that video. Yeah,
the only reason I brought it up is because I assume people will expect this podcast
to be talking about it to some degree, because I got a lot of people writing to me saying, looking forward to the podcast this week because it'll be an insight into that. And I was like, fuck, we hadn't even
planned
to talk about that. Yeah, at all. So I don't know. I thought like the point idea was very good. I don't know if we should just wait till next week. That can maybe be, yeah, we'll do that next week. We'll do that next week.
Make them wait. Make them wait.
Make his wait. I think that's a very good one to dive into.
It was, though. Your content's good now. This is something I know. You know what? We'll just jump in this. The hate has went through the roof.
Oh my god, buckets so much.
And I see you're replying to a lot of us. See you getting into it and joking about them and jelly. You're jelly, bro. But
that's constant.
It's getting a lot. It's even, you know what? It's even getting a lot when I read it. I'm like, you know, I laugh at some of them because it's just the same shit. But what is wrong with society these days? Like, what the
fuck is going on?
Like,
I couldn't get over the, like, there is, anybody wants to laugh. Some of the comments are, I'm going to be honest, some of them are hilarious. Like, you know, people, some of the stuff people are writing is fucking priceless. Like, you know, turning around and going, like, Inspector Campbell is that you, Joe, you know, because the accent, no, like.
What's Inspector Campbell?
From Peaky Blinders. And yeah, exactly. So like, I laugh at that, but like, other people are writing going, you know, obviously you get your juice and your gear cut, and you get other people going, why are you trying to teach me a leg workout when you've got noodle legs, Joe? Some of that is all, it's just shite. But then there is some comments that I read that are absolute, like I read them and I'm like, that is actually hilarious. Like, if you said that, I'd probably burst out fucking laughing.
Does any of them ever DM, or is it always just the comment section?
Oh no, I get loads of DMs.
Oh yeah, and do they like, say the same things?
They're usually much harsher in the DMs, to be honest.
And have they got a face, or are they faceless and fake accounts?
Mixtures. It depends.
I would have more respect for someone when they do it when they're actually a real account. You know, when they put their fucking real face and their real name. If you're going to give me abuse, don't come behind a fucking. A non-profile picture.
Yeah, see, that's sort of the thought process I come at, because I'm like, you little posse, if you're gonna cover me with your face, so I know exactly what you look like, because I ripped them apart.
Yeah, I did. I noticed a massive influx in the hate, and then, but you know, like, is that a that is a social problem where someone. If you had 5,000 followers, they wouldn't be giving you shit. You know what I mean? There's so much jealousy that I just don't get it. Like, fucking hell, I don't get it. I just, you know, I'm all for giving a bit of a fuck. Sometimes I'm in your comment section giving grief myself, but in a joking way.
I enjoy a bit of grief.
But you have to wonder what's going on in their lives. So that, no, because I see, you know how bad it is. I've seen a couple of the same names popping up in multiple videos. You're just like, lad, just fucking give up, like, you know, just no,
they're fucking not wise. Just not wise,
give up. But you wonder what's going on in their lives, where they're thinking, fuck, I must go on and check this man's Instagram to see, am I going to get triggered because he said that free weights, you should go on the machine because it's easier to overload.
Man, I just try and get a good laugh at them, because that's all I can really do, you know, because some of them are fucking cream crackers. Otherwise, you'd end up frying your own head, looking at everything, because you just would, it would wipe you out, like it would, if you let it get to you.
With
like, I let my sister filter for the comments.
She filtered them?
Like, she will go and review like a video and be like, yeah, right, that video is sweet, so you don't get triggered. Like, there's nothing there, because people write in people used to write in some mad shit. Do you remember the stuff that was going around in like the, there's some stuff that goes around about me, and it's just, it wouldn't trigger me, but it can fuck with your head a bit. So it's just being mindful, because you're letting that in too. And like, obviously whenever I talked about, like, for example, the mental health video, I talked about relationship end, and I've seen people write shit being like, oh, I heard you beat your ex-girlfriend, I heard you fucking, Joe, you cheated on her, I heard you done, no, obviously a million and one stories.
There's people writing that in the comments?
No, but they'll DM me or be like, what the fuck's this? Or they'll pretend, they try to DM it to their friend and they fucking DM me it like a moron. That happens all the time.
Oh, that, they think they're sending someone your video and they just write to you.
Stupid Oh my god, that's hilarious. The amount of people I know back home that are like semi know of, and they do that going, and they'll be like, who's this dickhead think he is or something, and I'm like
Jesus Christ.
I just start laughing, because then it gets deleted and you read it and you're like, oh fucking hell, this is absolutely bonkers. But
people are fucking, I don't know,
I don't give two fucks. If you're not paying me or you're not in my close immediate circle, you can join the queue and get triggered and suck the back of my balls. Because honestly, if you're not part of my close family, really, and I've got fuck all friends, to be honest, and you're not paying me and you're not a client and you're not supporting me and you're just giving me hate, you can literally just get them hairy nuds in your fucking gob. Because I couldn't give two fucks.
We have another question. Tips on dealing with anxiety.
Oh, fuck.
Do you get much anxiety?
Very little. I honestly think I've just hit a point, and this sounds terrible, but a lot of my stresses have been taken off me. Like, a really good example is like whenever you hit like a certain financial freedom, you stop caring as much about whatever people think, because that's a main worry when you run a business. You're worried about customers and public perception, whereas I never work the rest of my days. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But in terms of like anxiety with things, I think everybody gets worked up, but I've got really good metrics to like, I have wee routines. I train most days. I go for walks. So for me, managing anxiety, like there's two options, right? If you can remove, like really good example is, right, me and Stephen were here, and like he was talking about like, oh, how a client said this message or something. And I just goes to him, why are you reading that after 5 p.m. on a Friday? You've went looking for that. Like, and he triggers, so that's your fault. So with anxiety, if you can remove the trigger, remove it. So if it's a situation, if it's an environment. But if you cannot remove the trigger, you need to change the response. So whether that's taking off your shoes and having a cup of chamomile tea at your front to relax you, or whether it's watching a movie or listening to a podcast and go for a walk, you need to try and remove the trigger. If you can't remove the trigger, you need to change the response. The problem is people go looking for the trigger and then complain whenever it happens and they get wound up, and then they also complain because they can't cope with it. You need coping mechanisms, and you have to build out what works for you.
Yeah, there's a difference of coping mechanisms and masking mechanisms. That's one thing that people should remember. Coping mechanism is not alcohol. That's a masking mechanism, because as soon as you sober up, the problem's still there.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's where you can get into a problem of drink and drugs and different stuff like that, because that's a masking that makes it go away maybe for an evening. And it might hit you like a ton of bricks twice as much in the morning. So that there's a very subtle difference there. But you're right, take the triggers out of your life. No, some people are in relationships at the moment that's causing them anxiety. They're in jobs that's causing them anxiety. And you have to work. Absolutely. You have to work out in the long run. Is that really worth the anxiety? Pretty much, if you think of it, anxiety is your body. Internal body in a war mode and battle mode. So you're like, everything's hypertensive, everything in your body's like raising up to a level. If you stay in that sort of feeling for long enough, you're going to start having health issues. Everybody knows that person who's always a wee bit, they're always a wee bit on edge and they're a wee bit jittery, and that's, the longer that goes on, the worse it is for your body, the worse it is for your mental health, the worse it is for everything. It'll knock on your sleep. Everything in your life will go to shit after a while, or you'll just about hold it together, but you'll be a bag of nerves, and you'll never be able to relax. So you have to find what's making that happen and try to eliminate as much as possible. Maybe it is a job. Maybe it is a relationship. Maybe it's where you live. Maybe it's because of things you're doing to yourself, like gambling, like drinking too much, like taking too much drugs, like having a poor diet, like not training, not doing anything for yourself, sleeping too much, sleeping and being lazy, and then not having enough hours in the day to do your job. It's just finding what's the triggers and trying to either eliminate them or minimize them as much as possible. You'll probably never, especially in the modern world now, eliminate all things that cause you anxiety, because you know, that's just everything, like from fucking driving in the traffic, from, you know, just everything is, it would cause you a wee bit of anxiety. You know, there are always going to be that things, especially when you go in holidays, like people get a lot of anxiety in the airports, but then when they get the other side and off the plane, they're like, whoa, a big, like, you're in holiday mode. When you're in holiday mode, nothing really matters. You don't really care about anything. You just have to find out a way how to bring holiday mode to maybe a couple of days a week. Like as Tony said, the weekends. Treat your weekends like a foreign holiday. No, turn off. No, stop replying emails. Stop replying to calls. Now, if you say to someone you work 9 to 5, that's what you work. You work 9 to 5. I know it's easier said than done, but there has to be boundaries. And in this sort of modern era we're in now, and everybody's so contactable, like we've never been more contactable. Like if I rang Tony now, he doesn't answer. I can text him, he doesn't answer. I'll WhatsApp him, doesn't answer. I'll get him on Messenger, doesn't answer. Then I'll get him on Instagram Messenger, doesn't answer. Then I'll get him on fucking Twitter, doesn't answer. The amount of ways people get in touch with you now is fucking obscene. And we have to, you know, sometimes you just have to go into like holiday mode or airplane mode and just like be, you know, actually fully chill out. And like people think, oh, what do you do when you chill out at night? Oh, I'll do a bit of scrolling. That's definitely not chilling out. That's hitting your body with dopamine. That's hitting your body with so much dopamine all the time. You may as well be taking like a wee mild drug and giving yourself more and more. I'll scroll a few more. And I am guilty of that. And you're just scrolling a wee bit more and then scrolling another wee bit and scrolling another wee bit and scrolling another wee bit. And then fucking...
That is it though. And then you're all of a sudden you're triggered and your head's minced because you've been looking at somebody with a six pack before you go to bed, and then you think, fuck, why am I fat? And then your head just goes with, like, you consume that. Like, there's a reason I follow fuck all people on social media. Like, I consume nothing on it. Like, it's just so minty for your head.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. There, I, you know what? For the first time in a long time, there was someone I was following, and they were triggering me a wee bit. And I just, you know what it is, I just unfollowed them. And it's not even about their content. It was just like, there's certain stuff they were coming out with, and I was like, fuck, I don't like the way they're doing that now. I don't like the way they've pivoted. And I can, because I'm kind of in the business and I understand the business, I know exactly why they're pivoting. Because it's a business thing, and I'm just going, oh, shit. You've been sucked up into the big animal. So it's just like, you know what, I didn't unfollow them because they'll still support what they do because they're a lovely person, but I just muted them. I don't need to see it because I know where they're going. I'll pop in from time to time to make sure they're doing okay. But I was just like, oh, they've been sucked up into the big corporate beast.
Easy.
But right, we're going to wrap it up because Tony needs his bed. Is it Honolulu you're in?
I'm in Honolulu, yeah.
And the many degrees? 35, 40?
No, it's probably about 28. It's not hot. It's
just fucking, may as well be in Uri, hey?
May as well.
But guys, when you're listening to this, this is going to be Monday. I'll be at the All-Ireland Final, hurling final yesterday, so I'll be sober. I'll be hungover on Monday.
Who's playing in that?
Kilkenny and Limerick. The clash of the favorite big twos. It'll be Limerick.
Who do you see winning?
I think Kilkenny's going to turn it over, but Limerick are like the greatest team that's ever lived.
Oh, I like that.
They're so good, they don't put a sponsor in their jersey. How cool is that?
That's ballsy, isn't it?
That is ballsy. But right, guys, thanks so much, and thanks, Annie, for that. Is it Annie? Fuck, I might have got your name wrong. Thanks, Annie, for that nice message, too. And thanks that, yeah, you know, hopefully, you know, we can... If you continue to listen, that we'll continue to help you on your journey of entrepreneurship.
If you need anything, don't be afraid to message, too. Whenever you give us a little bit of... And, praise, it lubes us up, opens Mickey's asshole to give you more help.
Right, you're not doing a TikTok here now, Foxy.
Right.
Right, thank you very much, guys, and we'll get these next time.